The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall, curator of this cryptic museum dedicated to the mysterious and the macabre. Concealment seems to be the order of the day. We use fabrics, paints, chemicals, and hair to obscure the body, and we employ customs and law to hide the soul. Life, for so many of us, is a series of rituals and ceremonies, all of which are directed toward curbing our natures. Small wonder so few of us ever get to understand our fellow man. So few of us ever get to know ourselves.
You?
Me?
You, Stuart Haskins. You are a killer.
Oh, no.
Yes?
I faint at the sight of blood.
Oh, you are a murderer.
The very sound of gunshot makes me violently ill.
A cold-blooded, ruthless assassin.
Ask anybody, they'll tell you.
Nothing. No one. No feelings of pity can prevent you from your wholesale slaughter.
Oh, I'm ill. Even talking about violent death makes me ill.
You are a killer. And I have evidence to prove it.
Our mystery drama, The Public Avenger, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Arnold Stang and Marion Haley.
The preceding program was broadcast with the permission of the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Did you know that there are just about 21 million Americans over 16 who can't read? Not even a want ad or a job application. And another generation right behind them. Kids in the inner cities, on reservations and in Appalachia who may never learn to read. This is Michael Learned for RIF. Reading is fundamental. It's a national nonprofit program with more than 400 local projects all over the country that help kids help themselves to read by giving them the incentive and the books. RIF's goal in this bicentennial year is to get 25 million books into the hands of 5 million children. Books they can choose for themselves and keep for their own. But to keep going and keep helping, RIF needs your help. Send a tax-deductible check or money order to RIF. It's tough to ask for money, and RIF knows it's tough to give it. But think how much tougher life would be if you couldn't read. Please, send your donation to RIF, Box 23444, Washington, D.C., 20024.
Electrical appliances are extremely useful time-saving aids, but without proper precautions, they can be instruments of destruction. In fact, government statistics show that 80% of all electrical appliance accidents are due to carelessness. Underwriters Laboratories consumer safety expert Janice Farr says there's an easy way you can help avoid contributing to that 80%.
That's right. I strongly recommend that you read and heed your appliance instruction booklets. Most booklets contain valuable safety tips, such as recommending that you unplug your portable appliance from the outlet when not in use, and that you not let the cord hang over the edge of a table or counter, or touch hot surfaces.
And to be extra safe,
it's a good idea to keep your instruction booklets in a convenient place for quick and easy reference. Remember, the instruction booklet is there, so why not use it?
This has been a public service announcement from Underwriters Laboratories and this station.
Full many a gem of purest ray serene, the dark unfathomed caves of ocean bear, full many a flower was born to blush unseen and waste its fragrance on the desert air. Few poets ever wrote truer sentiments. How many of us know such gems and flowers? Indeed, so many of us ourselves can be classed as hidden diamonds and wasted blossoms. Well, to business. Our scene is a warehouse. Specifically, a warehouse that stores groceries, but don't get too hung up on the product. It really has nothing to do with the story.
Miss Ellenbogen.
Yes, sir?
Get Stuart in here. Oh, I'm going to fire that clown. Maybe I'm not a camel, but this is the last straw. My back is rusted. I don't care if he's worked here 50 years.
Yeah, you sent for me, Mr. Fenris.
Stuart, you're fired.
Fired?
Get your money and get out of here.
Yeah, but why, Mr. Fenris?
Why? Because you're stupid, muddle-headed, and useless. You've got no ability, initiative, ambition.
Yes, sir, but what did I do?
What did you do? You cost me the biggest account I got in the house. That's all you did. Atlantic Stores. Their order has to be out of here by the 15th. I'm walking through the warehouse just before, and there it is. Still piled up against the wall.
Oh.
Yeah, oh. All it takes is one idiot like you, and I can lose 25% of my annual volume.
But, Mr. Finn...
I don't want to hear any more.
Yeah, but, sir, Atlantic Stores doesn't want that order sent out until the 20th.
You've got to be lean and not have 1 ounce of excess baggage. And Atlantic Stores doesn't want the order sent out till the 20th. What do you mean? They don't want the order.
Well, they called up and they said...
Why wasn't I told?
Well, I left the message on your desk.
Well, what kind of communications have we got around here? Where on my desk?
There it is, sir. There. Where? Right on the right-hand side.
The right-hand side?
Yes, sir. Mr. Fenris.
Well, no wonder. You've been working here 15 years, and you don't know by now that you have to put messages on the left-hand side.
Oh, yes, sir, Mr. Fenris.
On account of your stupidity, I almost had a heart attack.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Fenris.
Well, I'm going to give you one more chance.
Yes, sir.
One more chance, but that's it.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Fenris.
Yes, drop the ball one more time and you are through.
Oh, yes, sir.
Now get out of here.
Yes, sir.
And see if you can keep out of trouble for the rest of the day.
Mr. Haskins?
Yes, Miss Ellenbogen.
May I ask you a personal question?
Well, yes, I suppose so.
Why do you allow him to bruise your psyche like that?
Bruise my psyche? Well, I'm afraid I don't understand.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Is that an expression you learned at college?
How do you know? I'm going to college.
Well, I see those books on your desk.
Oh, yes. I'm just attending at night.
Well, I've never gone myself. I wish I had.
Well, it's never too late, you know. I'm studying psychology.
Oh, I understand. That's quite a deep... thing.
Well, the psyche is, in religion, it would be the soul.
Oh.
In psychology or psychiatry, it is in the mind, but considered as an organic system reaching all parts of the body to adjust the whole organism to the total demands of the environment.
Oh, yes. That's very, interesting. What was that question you asked me?
Oh, well, on second thought, perhaps it's most presumptuous. I'm sure it's something quite private.
Why do I allow Mr. Fenris to bruise my psyche?
Uh-huh.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. I don't feel bruised.
You don't?
No, although maybe if I knew where my psyche was. Miss Ellenbogen.
Yes, Mr. Haskins.
Do you go to night school every night?
Oh, no, not every night.
Yeah, well, I was wondering if,
Yes, Mr. Haskins.
No. Oh, my goodness. I have to get that... I have to get that special order out to South Coast Markets. Yeah, I'm late.
Yes, Mr. Haskins. Good evening, Professor Temple.
Yes?
I'm Rose Ellenbogen.
Ach, so. Miss Rose Ellenbogen. And you are here for...
A conference, Professor Temple.
Ach, so. Conference.
We were to discuss my term paper.
So?
Yes, well, I was thinking of doing a study of a certain person.
Ah...
Yeah, he works in the place where I'm employed.
Oh. Mm.
And he displays an abnormal behavior pattern.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm. The subject, male, white, unmarried, 32 years of age, has been employed in the shipping department for 15 years. His name is Stuart Haskins.
And?
He is the daily recipient of the most vicious mental abuse imaginable.
From whom?
From our employer, a Mr. Ferdinand Fenris.
Why?
Well, I can understand Mr. Fenris's attitude. Oh, yes, indeed. I can understand it very well.
Can you?
Uh-huh. Mr. Fenris is completely incompetent. And Mr. Fenris knows it. It's Mr. Haskins who actually runs the business. Now, this angers and frustrates Mr. Fenris so completely that in an attempt to salvage his manhood, he must attack Mr. Haskins constantly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how does Mr. Haskins manage to maintain his sanity?
We bring you a late bulletin. The mysterious public avenger has struck again.
The public avenger?
Gangster Chief Punch Gumbo was gunned down as he was taking tea in the garden of his country estate.
Interesting.
According to Mr. Gumbo's bodyguards, the killer appeared suddenly, and as he fired bullet after bullet into Mr. Gumbo, he shouted, "The public avenger strikes again." The killer wore a mask and is described as being about 5 feet 9 inches tall. The bodyguards returned the fire, and one of them thinks he may have hit the killer, but the assassin made good his escape. And now we return to Symphony Hall.
Oh, I wonder who he is, Professor Temple.
Simple.
You mean you know?
Oh, yes.
Who he is? Who is he?
Mr. Stuart Haskins.
Professor, you're joking.
The last time I made a joke, it was with Professor Freud in Vienna in 1936.
But, Professor, it's impossible. You never met Stuart Haskins.
Oh, what was that joke?
Stuart Haskins? The public avenger?
I wrote it down. It's someplace in my notes.
Stuart Haskins is hemmed in by inhibition.
Yeah, I will find the joke another time.
But Stuart Haskins feels completely constricted by...
Precisely. And so he breaks out.
What are you saying, Professor?
Just as your Mr. Fenris proves his manhood by whipping Mr. Haskins finds his by becoming the public avenger.
Oh, impossible. He's so meek and mild.
But your Mr. Haskins, he does not know he is the public avenger.
Well, how can he not know?
Well, he is an amnesiac.
Amnesiac?
Some people suffer from amnesia because of physical injury, but for the most part, people suffer from amnesia because they need amnesia.
Are you saying that Mr. Haskins...
Psychogenic amnesia. We forget because we wish to forget. Yes. Now, what was that joke I told Dr. Freud?
Stuart Haskins, the public avenger. It's incredible. Oh, he couldn't be my Stuart Haskins. He couldn't.
Good morning, Miss Ellen Bogan. Oh, would you please put this letter on Mr. Fenris's desk for me?
Certainly. Although I think he's looking for you.
Oh?
Yeah, he said if you came in from the warehouse, you're to go into his office.
Oh, well, I really would rather not. Do you suppose you might not mention that I was around here?
I won't.
Stuart!
Oh, gosh.
You come right in here, Stuart.
Yes, sir. Oh, excuse me, Miss Ellen Bogan. You wanted to see me, Mr. Fenris.
Where's that invoice from Pleasant Valley Markets? Or did you lose it?
Oh, no, I put it in your in-basket, sir.
Mm.
I thought that way it wouldn't get mislaid on either side of your desk.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, Stuart,
huh?
Where's your jacket?
My jacket.
I don't care how you look down in the warehouse, but up here we wear jackets. Now, how dare you come upstairs without a check?
I have
customers, clients,
yes, sir.
Important people coming in and out. I can't afford to have my employees running around looking like a bunch of bums.
Oh, yes, sir, but you...
And you knew the rules.
Yes, sir.
And you broke the rules.
But, Mr. Fenris, let me explain. I had to get my jacket cleaned.
You had to get your jacket cleaned?
Yes, sir.
In other words, you're having your jacket cleaned on company time.
Yeah, well, sir,
don't let it happen again.
Oh, no, sir, I won't.
I don't know why I'm so good to you.
Yes, sir.
Oh, I'm getting soft. Soft.
Yeah, well, thank you, sir.
Are you still standing there? Now, don't you have work to do?
Oh, yes, sir.
Oh, was it very bad this morning?
Was what very bad?
The way he spoke to you.
Oh, that. Well, he doesn't mean anything by it.
He doesn't?
No, and besides, he doesn't know any better.
Oh, tell me, Did you read the news this morning?
No, I never read the news or listen to it.
You don't?
No, not if I can help it. I find it too upsetting.
Oh, you mean things that happen to other people upset you?
Oh, yes, terribly.
Have you heard of the Public Avenger?
No, I don't believe I have. Who is the Public Avenger?
Well, nobody knows.
Oh.
He seems to be a kind of one-man vigilante committee. He kills well-known hoodlums who seem to have eluded the legal process.
Well, I can't say I approve.
You don't?
Oh, no. Violence of any kind. Just...
Oh, could you imagine yourself as the Public Avenger?
Me? Oh, never. I'm frightened to death of guns. Me, the Public Avenger. Whatever could have given you that idea? You certainly have a sense of humor.
Well, so
if there's one thing I admire in a girl, in a young lady, it's a sense of humor.
Oh, so you never could.
I was wondering, Miss... Do you suppose...
Yes?
I was wondering if you... Oh, my goodness. Oh, I haven't packed the order for the bunny stores. I just have to get back to the warehouse.
Yes, may I help you?
I'm supposed to leave this jacket for Mr. Stuart Haskins at the reception desk.
All right.
And would you tell him it won't pay to fix the hole under the right arm? It'll cost him a fortune to reweave it.
Oh, that small hole?
Yeah, that small hole.
Why?
Why? I'll tell you why. Because it's a bullet hole.
A what?
You hate me. It's a bullet hole.
You heard him, too. How could a bullet hole get into Mr. Stuart Haskins' jacket? Don't ask me. I won't tell you. Actually, I may have already told you. They say still waters run deep. But in Stuart Haskins, we may be trying to navigate still water that has no bottom. I promise you things will flow fast and furiously when I return in just a few moments with Act Two.
This is a message to some very special people. They're special people because even though they may feel fine, they're dying. They're people who have high blood pressure and aren't treating it seriously. If you're one of these people, take a few seconds to listen to some statistics. They may help you add years to your life. Insurance companies have found the higher your blood pressure is, the more years you can subtract from your life. For example, if your blood pressure is 140 over 95, subtract 9 years from your life. And if it's 150 over 100, you could die 16 years too early. Here are a few more numbers to think about. If you don't treat your high blood pressure, chances are 3 times greater that you'll have a stroke, and almost 5 times greater that you'll suffer from congestive heart failure. But you can lead a longer and healthier life if you treat your high blood pressure seriously. See your doctor. Get back on your treatment. Treat your high blood pressure and live. A public service message of this station and the Advertising Council.
Some great new services for everyone, from general information and referral to concerts and puppet shows.
Well, thank you for calling Nightline.
Now, I have a problem.
Oh?
You see, I'm at the library right now.
At 3 a.m.?
Well, they said it was closing time, but I started tracing my family tree, and I forgot to look at the clock.
The library. Come see what's new, besides books.
If there's a locksmith listening, I'd really appreciate it.
We'll see what we can do.
A public service message from the American Library Association.
We live in a time when no speculation can be too extravagant, because the fact is, everything is possible. Practically all of the once considered far-out fantasies of Jules Verne have not only come to pass, but most of them have already been passed by. So when Professor Franz Joseph Teppel and his student, Miss Rose Ellenbogen, speculate that Mr. Milquetoast himself, Stuart Haskins, can actually be a one-man vigilante committee known as the Public Avenger, who is to say them nay?
Yeah, lady, that's a bullet hole.
A bullet hole?
You see the material all around the hole? That's burned. Those are powder burns.
Powder?
Yeah, gunpowder, lady. Like you get close to the muzzle of a gun that's going off. The flash, like you see in the movies. That flame that spouts out of the barrel, that burns. so all the material's ruined.
But how could Mr. Haskins get a bullet hole through his jacket?
Don't ask me.
Oh, the man came with my jacket. Well, I'm so glad. Oh, thank you, Miss Ellenbogen.
The man said to tell you that they couldn't fix the hole.
The hole?
The bullet hole. Because all the material around it burned.
Oh, yes, I see.
May I ask you how you got a bullet hole in your jacket?
Oh, my goodness, I don't have the faintest idea.
You don't?
Oh, no.
But how is that possible? I mean, certainly you should remember a thing like a bullet, I would think.
I can't even imagine.
I mean, could you have been near any place where there was shooting, for example?
Oh, no, I've never been near any place where there was shooting.
Never?
Oh, well, I was in the military service.
Well, did you fire a gun in the service?
Well, yes, but I prefer not to think about that.
Well, about this bullet hole, how can we account for it?
Well, I'm afraid there's only one explanation.
What's that?
It's not a bullet hole.
It isn't? But the man said...
Yes, I know.
And it does look burned.
Well, you see, they may have been pressing it, and somebody carelessly burned this hole. And to cover up, they made up this little story about it.
You insist, then, that this here is not a bullet hole?
Well, I don't know of any way I could have received it in my coat.
Well, what do you intend to do about it?
Do about it? Well, nothing, I suppose. It's really a very old jacket, and I'm about ready to discard it anyhow. So why create a tempest in a teapot, as it were?
No, you're positive that that cannot be a bullet hole.
No way at all. Oh, Miss Ellenbogen, are you going to school this evening?
No.
Oh, I was thinking that...
Yes?
Oh, my goodness. I haven't packed the Chippy Chipmunk canned peaches. Excuse me.
Ach so, a hole created by a bullet.
Well, but now that I think about it, he may have been right. It could have been carelessness on the part of the cleaners.
No. It was a bullet.
It's impossible now that I think of it. He's so meek. I said, confront them.
Ah, confrontation.
And I looked at his face. The very thought seemed to make him ill.
What was that joke I told Dr. Freud?
Professor, we are discussing Stuart Haskins.
Oh, yeah. Well, what is there to discuss? Stuart Haskins is the public avenger.
How can you make such a statement?
I explained to you.
I know. And I've gone through the literature on disorders of orientation.
Well, then, if you have gone through the literature, where is the problem?
One look at Stuart Haskins would be enough to convince you that he couldn't possibly be...
You do not want him to be the avenger.
And now our half-hour news bulletin. Joseph Folsom, known as Joe the Jabber, reputed kingpin of the drug traffic, has been released by the authorities. The federal prosecutor in New York City says he cannot proceed because of lack of evidence. Ironically, Joe the Jabber himself is somewhat less than happy with the decision. He is quoted as saying, "If you feds want to put me back on the street, you've got to protect me from this crazy avenger." More news later.
The public avenger shall strike tonight.
Tonight?
Mr. Haskins shall shoot Mr. Joe the Jabber.
But Joe the Jabber is in New York. That's 1,000 miles from here.
This is Friday night?
Yes.
There is work at the warehouse tomorrow?
No.
And so, Mr. Haskins has 2 days to accomplish his mission, no? And return Monday?
Oh, the public avenger is tough, resourceful.
Oh, yes.
And Stuart is so timid and ineffectual.
Then why are you in love with him?
Because who says I'm in love with him?
You are in love with him because you believe he is the public avenger. His hidden masculinity...
Oh, no, he can't be. If only you could see him.
Very well. I shall see him.
Oh.
When shall he take you out again?
Take me out?
Yes, this is the name for the rites of courtship in America, no? To take the loved one out?
Well, he doesn't take me out.
Oh, then where does the wooing occur?
There isn't any. That's what I mean. He doesn't even have the courage to ask me for a date.
Since he will not ask you, then you must ask him.
Ask him? Ask him what?
Ask him to dinner.
To dinner?
We must assume he eats.
Oh, well, I just can't. I mean...
Why not?
What can I tell him?
Oh, say you are with a friend and we have a fine dinner here that we would like to share.
Call him just like that?
One lifts the telephone, dials the number, and science performs the rest.
Well, all right. I mean, once you meet Stuart, you will admit he couldn't possibly be the public avenger.
Ah, that's interesting.
What is interesting, Professor Tuttle?
How does it happen you know his number?
But I don't know his number.
Then how does it happen you can dial it without consulting the directory?
Oh, I don't know.
Have you wished to do this before? Have you subconsciously found out the information?
Oh, I don't know.
So, can you also be an amnesiac? Have you another existence where you telephone Mr. Stuart Haskins?
Oh, that's impossible.
Then how do you know his number?
Professor, there's no answer.
Of course not.
What do you mean, of course not?
How can there be an answer? Mr. Stuart Haskins has already left for New York.
Oh, no.
Where he will kill Mr. Joe the Jabber.
We must stop him.
Yes, we must.
We should call the New York police.
And tell them...
No. We can't tell anybody anything. All we'll do is get him killed. Oh, but there must be a way.
There is.
How?
We must make him fight for something, for someone. And therefore, he will not be driven to amnesia for fulfillment.
Oh, but how does that help us now? This gangster, this drug traffic kingpin, he's expecting Stuart. He'll surround himself with bodyguards. Stuart will be killed.
Mm-hmm.
Professor, you're not listening.
What? Oh, Miss Ellenbogen, what did you say?
I said this gangster will be expecting Stuart.
No. You said something else. You said I was not listening. Yeah. Oh, now I remember the joke.
Oh.
You know, we psychoanalysts, we spend all our time in listening.
Please, Professor.
And Professor Freud said to me, Doctor, you see so many patients here, so many problems, day and night. You listen to such terrible troubles.
Oh, Professor.
How do you keep from going off the deep end? And I said, who listens? I must say, Dr. Freud did not think it was funny either.
Oh, what are we going to do about Stuart, Professor? I'm so worried.
Now you see why I do not tell jokes. Once bitten, twice shy.
Well, you got me into this.
I got you into...
Well, if it weren't for you, I'd have never known Stuart was a public avenger. Oh, please. Please, Professor. Maybe there's a chance he isn't.
My dear Miss Ellenbogen, I have never been wrong. He is.
You gonna lean on that bell all night, lady?
Well, mister, I...
Just call me pal.
Okay, pal, I've been trying to get into Mr. Haskins' apartment... But it doesn't look as if he's home.
No, it don't.
Are you the superintendent?
When I get a raise. Meantime, I'm the janitor.
Uh-huh. Do you know where he is?
No. He's a guy who never goes nowhere.
Nowhere?
Comes home, cooks himself his supper, listens to music, maybe you read, then he hears the sack.
Uh-huh. He's always home.
Yeah. Except lately.
Yes, lately.
I mean, the past month, maybe. He goes someplace.
Where?
I don't know. But he'd get in his car, he'd drive away. He'd be out most of the night. Like, this is Saturday, huh? Okay, last night I see him get in the car, he drove off, and he ain't been back since.
Did he seem to be acting in a peculiar way, pal?
He always acts in a more or less peculiar way. I mean, I know quiet guys, but him. Hey, look, if you're going to marry this guy, you better be prepared to do all the talking.
He's been gone all this time, and we don't know where?
Well, when he gets back, why don't you ask him?
Time for your late Sunday evening wrap-up. Well, the big news, as you might expect, was the latest killing by the public avenger.
Oh, no.
All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't save Joseph Joe the Jabber Folsom from the vengeance of the public avenger. Even though Joe the Jabber was heavily guarded, the killer managed to evade the protective cordon, fire his fatal shots, and make good his escape. In just a few moments, we shall have more details for you.
Just a minute. Now, who could... Professor Temple.
May I enter?
Well, yes. You heard the news?
Yes, and that is why I am here.
Oh, do you know something?
Something that should make you happy. I want you to know that your Stuart Atkins is not the public avenger.
That's a happy announcement for Rose Ellenbogen. But how does Professor Tepple know? Is he the public avenger? Well, somebody's a public avenger. Somebody's depopulating the underworld. Who? On this show, you never know. The third act, which is where the piper must be paid, will be brought to you in just a very few moments.
Everybody needs vitamin C. You and me, we need vitamin C. No matter what you've got to spend for food, make sure you get something good, like vitamin C. Everybody needs vitamin C. It grows on a vine and on a tree. It grows in the ground and warmed by the sun. Most everyone give vitamin C.
Where do you find vitamin C? Well, you find it in oranges, grapefruit, collard, mustard, and turnip greens, cantaloupe, strawberries, and tomatoes, just to name a few. This is B.B. King for the AMA.
Call Dowa Dietitian, 453-3555, weekdays 9 until 5.
Give it everything that you can. It's a good feeling, a real good feeling, getting back what you've been putting in. Yes, it's a good feeling. What's a good feeling? When you're doing what you like to do. And it's a good feeling. What's a good feeling? When you're working just because you're you.
If you get the feeling that you've been discriminated against on the job because you're between age 40 and 65, call the folks at the nearest federal wage and hour office today. They're listed under U.S. Government, Department of Labor. This is Diana Trask, and this message has been brought to you as a public service by the U.S. Department of Labor and this station.
You take a timid soul, subject him to harassment and abuse. You thus drive him to daydreams and fantasy. He sees himself as a knight errant, a hero, a righter of wrongs. With most people, it remains at that level, fantasy. But there are those who seek to make their dreams reality. They forget this world and try to live their ideal in another. Of course, they don't remember doing it. This physical attempt is a form of amnesia, which is what we've been talking about all along.
You say Stuart is not the public avenger?
He is not. And can you ever forgive me?
Forgive you? For what?
For making you think so.
Well, after all, you thought so yourself.
Not I. I never thought so.
Well, you were the one who made such a logical diagnosis.
Yeah, I know, but you see, it was my poor sense of humor.
I don't understand what...
Every 40 years I try to make a joke, and it simply is not funny.
This was a joke?
An example of how a hypothesis can lead one astray.
But according to the textbook, dissociative behavior, people like Stuart would seek an outlet. I mean, they are logical candidates for psychogenic amnesia.
Yeah, but you see, to become a public avenger requires more than the wish. One must have the body, the fire, the elan, the ability.
And this was a joke.
Yes, to see how easily one may be taken in by words and theories.
You mean Stuart isn't the public avenger?
There is no way under the sun, moon, and stars that your Stuart Haskins could possibly be. It is my last bad joke. Certainly I cannot live another 40 years. You forgive me?
Oh, forgive you, Professor. I love you.
Good morning, Miss Ellenbogen.
Good morning, Mr. Haskins.
Yeah, is Mr. Fenris in yet?
No.
Oh, that's good. I'm late. Well, I better get downstairs.
Mr. Haskins.
Hmm?
Do you have a cigarette?
Do I have a cigarette? Oh, sure. Yeah, here.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I'll keep them.
Oh, I couldn't.
No, go ahead. I decided to give up smoking.
Oh, since when?
Since just now.
Oh.
Well, I have to be getting back to...
Do you know, I happened to... Well, I just happened to be in your neighborhood Saturday night.
Oh, you were?
Yes, I was visiting some friends just down the block, and on my way home I said, well, why don't I just stop and say hello to Mr. Haskins?
Yeah, well, why didn't you?
I did.
You did?
Yes, I rang your bell.
Oh, but you couldn't have rung my bell.
But I did.
You didn't, because if you did, I would have heard you.
How could you have heard me? You weren't home.
Oh, yes, I was. I was home all weekend. Where would I have gone?
But I did ring your bell.
Are you sure you had the right address, 217 Lauren, apartment 5?
Oh, yes, and the superintendent came out, and he said, pal, his name was, you've gotten into your car Friday night and driven off someplace.
I was home, Miss Ellenbogen. Miss Ellenbogen, is something wrong?
What did you say?
Well, all of a sudden, it's as if you, as if something hit you. You're not sick, are you?
Look, if Mr. Fenris comes in and asks for me, tell him I wasn't feeling well.
Is there anything I can do for you?
Just tell Mr. Fenris I'll be back in a while. I was there, at his house, Saturday night. He was gone.
So?
He claims he was home all weekend.
Well, he may have been asleep.
But the janitor says he saw him leave in his car.
The janitor may not have seen him come back.
You and I telephoned the house Friday. I rang the bell Saturday. We know he wasn't there, yet he has no memory of being away. Now, isn't that a classic amnesiac symptom?
Very well. Perhaps he has amnesia.
Well, that's what I'm telling you, Professor. It may have started as a joke on your part.
A feeble joke.
But it happens to be true.
Well, suppose it is true. We have no proof that he is a public avenger. Not every amnesiac...
But we have proof. He was in New York.
We have what?
Proof.
What proof?
Here, this package of cigarettes. He gave them to me, see? They come from New York.
Oh, no. You can't purchase those cigarettes anywhere.
Well, of course you can.
Well, then why do you say he bought them in New York?
Because of this stamp. This New York City sales tax stamp. Now, doesn't that prove...
Somebody may have given him the cigarettes.
First, we have the bullet hole.
It might have been a careless cleaner.
Second, he was not home all weekend.
This cannot be proved.
Third... The New York stamp on the cigarette package.
Not conclusive.
And now the news on the hour. Reliable information has it that the organized underworld has collected a fabulous war chest to protect itself against the public Avenger. No expense will be spared in a mammoth operation to find the killer. The law enforcement authorities have announced a full-scale drive to apprehend the public Avenger. And so it appears that both the government and the gangsters may very well be united in an effort to fight a common foe.
I will give a foe another word.
Interesting alliance.
Oh, what am I going to do, Professor?
We still have no absolute proof.
Well, if he keeps on, they'll kill him. One side or the other will kill him.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that.
But how can I make him stop?
How? Why does he have amnesia?
Because his boss persecutes him.
Ach so, so. This must be put a stop to.
But how?
Let us apply psychology to the problem.
And we have special orders to send to, we'll ask Storm.
Yes, Mr. Fenris. Will that be all, sir?
Yes, yes, that's all.
Oh, I dropped my book.
Well, that's a pretty heavy book, Miss Ellen Bogan. Doesn't your arm get tired carrying it?
Oh, no, sir. It's a psychology book. You see, it's really fascinating.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yes. As a matter of fact, most employers today are great students of psychology.
Why?
Well, most people in their human relationships use the direct head-on approach.
So, what's wrong with that?
Well, now, a person like Mr. Haskins.
Yeah, Stuart.
Now, he is really a very intelligent, sensitive human being.
He is?
Oh, yes.
Well, that's news to me.
Well, he, Stuart, could respond so much more effectively to kindness.
Oh, you're wrong.
What do you mean?
All this psychology stuff now. It's bunk.
Now, how can you say that?
Psychology. You know how to manage people?
Well, yes, through understanding, kindness, through sympathy.
Through fear.
Fear.
Fear. Naked fear.
Oh, Mr. Fenris.
Fear. That makes a man tremble for his job. Shows him who's boss. Makes him toe the mark. Keep in line.
But, Mr. Fenris...
You've got to be as tough as nails. You've got to be a hard-nosed, two-fisted, iron-jawed...
Oh, Mr. Fenris, what fantasy are you lost in?
Well, as I was saying, I don't want love.
But you should.
I want fear.
No, I...
Fear. That's what gets the work done. Why, all those Greeks and Romans, when they wanted to get their ships to move, how did they do it? With psychology? With a whip? Yeah, which reminds me, get Stuart up here.
It was awful. Awful. Oh, poor Stuart, I felt so badly. What am I going to do?
Well, you have tried psychology. Now you must try something else.
Well, what else is there?
You must approach the problem as a woman.
A woman? Well, I am a woman.
Then you must begin to behave like one.
But I've been behaving like a woman.
Have you? Like a desirable, seductive, enticing woman?
Well, I'm not sure I know how.
Then you must learn.
We interrupt to bring you a news bulletin.
Oh, no, not again.
Ebenezer Twitchell, the mass murderer and leader of the macabre devil worshiper sect known as the Moonblood, has been released from prison on a technicality and is now free.
No, I don't want to hear any more. Stuart is going to... how can we stop him?
Yeah, I told you. You must learn to be a seductive, enticing...
Oh, I don't have time. Stuart will go there tonight. And this person is surrounded by an army of human fiends.
That is difficult. Well, we have tried psychology. We have attempted to use the law.
And with no success.
We are left with one remaining approach.
What's that?
Sex.
Sex? But how can I...
My dear Miss Ellen Bogen, forget psychology. Do what comes naturally.
Miss Ellen Bogen?
Yes, sir.
Get Stuart up here. What does he think he's pulled this time? Oh, boy. Am I gonna put the fear of heaven into him?
I'll get him on the intercom.
Shipping room. Haskins speaking.
Mr. Haskins, Mr. Fenris wants you.
I'll be right there.
Sex. Well, here goes. Mr. Fenris?
Yes?
Mr. Fenris?
Well, what is it?
Don't you touch me!
What?
Don't you dare touch me!
What are you talking about? Who's...
Oh, please, don't! No,
but
don't!
But I'm not doing anything.
Take your hands off me! Oh,
no, stop screaming!
Hey.
Stop that!
Stuart, shame me! He attacked me!
I didn't... He's crazy! I never did anything!
Oh, he's lying!
Now, you get out of here! You're crazy!
Oh, you're gonna let him yell at me, Stuart?
Why yell at you? You said...
I thought you loved me!
I do!
Well, after what he tried to do to me, do something!
Why would I want to do anything to a homely bag like you?
Well, what do you want me to do?
What do you really want to do?
Well, I want to do this!
Oh!
And this!
That's enough, Stuart. Stuart, that's enough.
You called me Stuart.
You're fired.
You can't fire me. I quit.
Oh, you quit? You can't quit. I mean, how am I going to run the business?
You never ran this business. I did.
You can always get another job, Stuart.
I don't need a new job. I need a new title.
That's right, Stuart. A new title.
General manager. And more money.
Yes, sir, Stuart. That's only fair. Now let's go to lunch and we can talk about it.
I don't want to go to lunch with you. I'm taking my fiancée, Rose. I'll be ready to pick you up in 10 minutes. Oh, and if you had another date, break it.
Oh, yes, Stuart.
Do you have school tonight?
Oh, no, Stuart, no.
Good. We can get married.
Fenris Foods. Mrs. Haskins.
Already?
No, I'm just getting in the practice.
I only called to see if you learned what to do.
Oh, Professor, I didn't have to learn how to do anything. I knew all the time.
And so they were married. For reasons no one has yet discovered, the public avenger has disappeared from view. He has been unheard of since. So we can't say that Rose's gain has been society's loss. No, we can't say that. No vigilantism, no matter how well-intentioned, is ever a gain for society. But I shall have a gain for you when I return in just a few moments.
For more than 2 years now, people have been trying to get you to slow down to 55 miles an hour, down to the speed limit. They've told you that slowing down will save millions of gallons of gasoline. They've told you that slowing down saves thousands of lives, and they've got the figures to prove it. I think those are pretty good reasons. Some of you obviously do too, because some of you have slowed down. But an awful lot of people, for one reason or another, haven't. They seem to think the 55 mile an hour speed limit is something they can take or leave. It isn't. It's a law. With tickets and fines and all the rest, just like any other law. And I should know. I'm a police officer. From where I sit, there's just no way around it. The 55 mile an hour speed limit can do a lot of positive things. And it's my job to make sure it gets a chance to work. Not just because it's a good idea, but because it's the law.
A public service of this station, the U.S. Department of Transportation, and the Advertising Council.
How do people cope with the intolerable? They become someone else, either in fantasy or actuality. We never claimed that Stuart Haskins was a public avenger. We only presented some psychological evidence. But the same evidence could point toward the frustrated Mr. Fenris, the repressed Miss Ellenbogen, or even poor Professor Tepple, whose psyche is ravaged because no one appreciates his sense of humor. Could it also point toward you? Our cast included Arnold Stang, Marion Haley, Robert Dryden, and Leon Janney. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
Look, Steve, she knows what we're doing.
Then who do you think told her? You think I told her? That lousy ghost told her, that's who.
Well, whoever, she knows.
Is she going to blow the whistle?
I don't know. I don't believe she would.
I do.
I'm her husband, Steve.
It's happened before. I think we better make plans.
You mean pack the stuff back in the van and forget the whole deal?
There ain't a thing that Ghost can do to us without Julie's help. He admitted it last night.
Steve, I got enough trouble without Ghost. What kind of a plan have you got, huh?
The Ghost is real. You'll have to take my word for it. But without Julie, he can't do a thing to us. Not one darn thing.
So what's the plan, Steve?
We got a hole somewhere down here in the cellar with one body already in it. Why not make it two?
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Allied Van Lines. This
broadcast permission for the following program is made possible by the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Until next time, pleasant dreams.